I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know.
There's been a huge change in public opinion and the applicable legal framework.
That's MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred talking about the league's new partnership with MGM Resorts, and that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach via Skype and by Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, hello there.
Craig, what's going on with MLB and MGM?
Major League Baseball has a long and rich history of thinking that gambling is the worst possible thing in the world. We can't even imagine Major League Baseball now if it wasn't for hating gambling. I mean, the modern structure of the league came after the Black Sox scandal in 1919. Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis was named the commissioner. That changed the power structure of everything. And from then on, it's been all about hating gambling. The hit king Pete Rose is banned for gambling on baseball. Even Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle were suspended for a time from baseball for having the audacity to become casino greeters in Atlantic City. The hair trigger against gambling and baseball is hard to overstate. But now that there's money involved and now that we have new people in charge of baseball, I think everybody has changed their mind about it. Rob Manfred will say that it's because the legal framework has changed and states are beginning to legalize sports gambling. But really, this is all about the cash. Major League Baseball is trying to cash in on what everybody else is cashing in on and gambling on sports. And so, hey, let's partner up with MGM. I think it's a fabulous idea as long as you ignore the last 100 years or so.
Listen, I still think gambling is terrible. I just want to be on record as saying that. I don't really like that baseball is getting involved in this, but I mean, this is the way of the world now. Right? I mean, like, there is a certain kind of, I mean, there's an undeniable sort of hypocrisy involved in this, but like, this is America's hypocrisy, right? Like, look at the NBA. The NBA had a scandal, I would argue, that was almost as bad as the Black Sox scandal, and everyone just kind of forgot about it and was happy to go on and gambling because people are okay with gambling now. Now, one thing that Craig wrote on Hardball Talk that I think is important to remind everyone of, you brought up Pete Rose. This does not vindicate Pete Rose. I want to make this as clear as possible. These are two separate things. Gambling bad, Pete Rose also bad. These things can also go together.
Right. Gambling bad, gambling on games that you are playing in or managing, a whole nother level of bad.
Yes.
You know, well, I guessed that you'd be against this whole idea, just kind of knowing you. So I tried to come up with a line of reasoning to suggest that the sky is not falling in all the various ways in which our sporting leagues are becoming intertwined with gambling. And this is the best I could come up with. I was a general assignment reporter in Reno, Nevada for a while. I learned two things. One, the gambling industry makes a ton of money. The house always, always, always wins. And that means they have a lot of influence. And two, that the gambling industry takes cheating very, very, very seriously. Like, of all the weird, questionable things that happened in Nevada, like, the only thing that really gets people up in arms is the idea that someone might cheat. So I think the hope is that by strengthening these ties between sports and gambling, it'll put everyone in the same boat to make sure that there is no cheating.
Well, I disagree and think this will turn out poorly. If only there were some way that we could, you and I could put something on the line to find out who exactly was correct.
I mean, truthfully, though, I'm with you, Will. I think it's a bad idea. Everyone, though, is going to make more money, except the fans, who will be losing money gambling on games, and our sports will become a bit more corrupt than they already are.
The only thing I'll say is, no matter how many times anyone says it, whether it's Will, whether it's you, whether it's me, they're still going to come out of the woodwork and say, well, why is Pete Rose still banned? And if you have a hard time getting your head around that, I'll just give you one little example that will make this clear. Major League Baseball has sponsorships with Anheuser-Busch. If a baseball player went out to second base and cracked open a Bud Platinum, I really do think that Major League Baseball would be in the right to punish him, even though they have a business arrangement with Anheuser-Busch. The same thing with gambling.
It's been far too long since we've had a William on this program who wanted to talk about soccer. So, Will Leach, please fill the void.
So I live in Athens, Georgia. Go Dogs. But mostly, what I've learned about living in Georgia over the last 5+ years is that everybody here is convinced that their teams, that they're cursed. Now, every fan base always thinks they're cursed, but
not New England.
You know what? They probably do. There's someone that they're still ruining that Eagles win. But when you look at Atlanta sports fans, they always feel like they're cursed. They've not won a championship since the Braves won one in 1995, the year after the strike when no one actually cared, which is kind of a nice touch. But Great news. Atlanta United, the soccer team, its second year, is in the MLS Cup. They are favored. They are like almost like, again, I wouldn't use like gambling odds or anything, but trust me, they're heavily favored. And it looks, in a lot of ways, like Atlanta is finally going to get its long denied championship. Guess what? Most Atlanta fans think it doesn't count because it's soccer and the team's only 2 years old. So I think it speaks to the larger point that sports fans, Atlanta fans in specific, and really all fans in macro, want to be sad. They want to be sad and they want to be tortured. I do a yearly tortured fan base rankings. Without question, the most often comment I get after I rank them is, what? My team's only six in the tortured rankings? I'm in so much more pain than that. You're a jerk.
I think it speaks just more largely to the apathy about soccer in this country. I wish it wasn't the case. I'm not a natural soccer fan. I didn't grow up with soccer. I didn't play soccer. But man, it's a lot of fun. That misery that we get from football and baseball and everything we were born and everything we grew up with, a misery handed down by our parents. Make no mistake about it. We are told to be miserable from the time we are aware of the teams we're rooting for. But we have this wonderful window now. It's closing, but we still have this window in America where we can come to soccer fresh and new without the baggage of our ancestors and just enjoy the heck out of it. And I really hope people in Atlanta do that and don't start thinking about, you know, Steve Bartkowski and everything else that happened in the past.
Well, the thing is that they are doing it in droves. I mean, Atlanta holds the record for MLS attendance. They had 900,000 people at games. They broke their own record. They are outdrawing two NFL teams, although I'm not really sure you can call the LA Chargers an NFL team anymore. But, you know, their average attendance is 53,000 per game. So they are clearly loved. And so I just feel like there's this thing, especially with soccer, that no matter how many people love the game, it's almost like the fans want to be outsiders. So they're like, no, no, don't look at us. We don't want to go with the flow. We are our own people. I mean,
soccer
it's like
is the freedom prize of professional sports in this country.
I do feel obliged to note that this game will, of course, will be sold out and every seat will be filled, something that will not be the case for a Falcons game the rest of the year at that notion. But yeah, I think part of it too is a lot of times Atlanta sports teams get caught up as like the team of the South. They represent the South as an area. And what's fascinating about Atlanta United is it really feels like the most Atlanta-centric team. It has clearly the most multicultural fan base. Their fan base is very heavily concentrated in the Atlanta area. And so I think that's another reason, because it's new and it's different and it's exciting and people don't know what to do with it. So they're like, I'll just be mad about the Georgia Bulldogs some more.
All right. This week, Alex Trebek posed a very important question or answer.
As of 2018, this NFC North team had never even made the Super Bowl, much less won it. But by 2030, gotta happen, right?
Now, we all know that the answer or question is, who are the Detroit Lions? But I want to tackle the more important question. Will the Lions make the Super Bowl by 2030? That's 12 years from now for those of us who are bad at math. And here are some more numbers that might help in our calculations. In 2030, the world's population is projected to be 8.5 billion. In 2030, 10% of people are expected to be wearing clothes that are connected to the internet. And in 2030, Tom Brady will be 52 years old. So given those factors, can the Lions do it? Craig?
Are the Lions going to sign a 52-year-old Tom Brady? Because I'll give them a chance then. Look, we can't just laugh at the Lions forever because this is their moment. This is a blessing in disguise. We could talk about the Cleveland Browns. We can talk about every team with futility streaks ever. But the moment pop culture starts to truly, truly mock a team like the Detroit Lions, that's their moment. I remember Back to the Future Part 2 saying the Cubs would never win the World Series. What happened? The Cubs won the World Series. I remember the Sports Illustrated cover with the futile 2014 Houston Astros on the cover saying they would be the 2017 World Series champs, and darn it, they won it. So Alex Trebek and Jeopardy just guaranteed that the Detroit Lions will win the Super Bowl eventually.
Really, just that they'll get there. Said nothing about whether they'd win.
There you go. Participation trophies for the Lions.
This is probably the best hope I've ever gotten as a Knicks fan. Don't worry. Everyone mocking you all the time, that's good. That's a good thing for you in 12 years.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports and New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
An honor and a delight, as always.